The people were growing spiritually, and he wanted to encourage them to continue to grow. He didn't have a lot of hard things to say to this church, except in the fourth chapter, and he got onto a couple of women that were fighting. And he didn't say he was coming down to do anything about it. He had enough sense to get some other fellow there in the church involved. But apart from that one episode where he got on those two women that were fighting about something, this is an epistle that really kind of reveals you to yourself and makes you want to try to do better. Now, down there where I put that red mark a few Sundays back, we've already covered verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. What he's talking about is, from now until the time that I die, I want to actually keep on attaining and growing, knowing more about God, understanding more about myself, understanding more about the things of God. He said, I want to keep on attaining. I want to keep on grasping things, understanding things, to my death now. And then at the resurrection of the dead, all these things will come out. Now, he said, not as though I had already attained. He said, I haven't grown to Christian maturity. Matter of fact, anyone who thinks they have is in pretty bad shape, because you can never grow to Christ's spiritual maturity. But you have an obligation to do it, to try. Not as though I had already attained. I were already perfect. In other words, I'd already received my glorified body, didn't have a carnal nature anymore. He said, but I follow after. He said, I follow after Jesus. That's what Christian growth is. That's what the church is here for. Because Christ is the head of it, it's the piece, the foundation of it. And the church, Christ did not come out of the church. The church came out of Christ. And he said, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And as I've told you many times, and I tell you again repetitiously, and what that means is, the word apprehend, it means to grab a hold of, to grasp, to understand. He said that I may grab a hold of, that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. At some point in your life, Gail, Christ Jesus got a hold of you. And that's also true in your case, Thelma. And it's also true in every one of our cases. There was a point in time in our lives when Christ Jesus just reached out and he apprehended us. Now, when he did that, he did it with a purpose in mind. He had a purpose in your life. Now, the question that I have had to answer and will continue to have to answer until the day I die, am I following after him and letting him have his purpose in my life? Sure, it's easy for me to say, well, I'm a pastor of this church, and I've surrendered my life to the Lord, and we're doing this, and we're doing that. That's easy to say. But there was a time in your life, in my life, in every one of you that are saved, that Jesus literally reached out, that's what the word apprehend means, and he grabbed you for a purpose. Now, after he grabbed you, the question in your life and in mine, and it's an individual thing. I can't answer it for anybody else. I can just tell you about it. Did he grab you? Well, he did. Now, is his purpose being fulfilled in your life? Have you found your role in life? Is Jesus working in you now, and has he worked in the past? I've known all of you for a long time. I think the Lord has worked in Anna Mae Sills' life. I think he reached out and grabbed her. She's like me. She hadn't attained, and she falls short in a lot of ways, just like I do. And just like the rest of us, she'll fall short in the future. But I can see God's hand in Anna Mae Sills' life, and that's why I kid her so much. And I think God is meeting his purpose in her life. I think the same is true in Cooney's life. Two entirely different people, two entirely different personalities. I think he's doing it also in Brother Shipley's life and his wife's life. Now, that's my opinion. But each one of you, and myself included, has an individual question put to us that we need to think about. Yes, Jesus grabbed me, and yes, he apprehended me. He holds on to me. He won't ever let you go. He won't ever drop you. Now the question is, how much of his will are you letting be performed in your life? Well, you're here this morning. So at least I would say this morning, they're here. We've come to worship the Lord. We've come to praise his name. And we're trying to follow after. You will never reach the point in your life where you say, okay, now I'm just exactly doing what God's Son wants. You can't do that. But inside your own heart, in spite of your failures, and in spite of the guilt for not doing what he should have wanted you to do in other times, you know that he's still there working. And there's still time to let him work in your life. Now, what did Paul want to know? He said, I want to know why Jesus reached out and grabbed me. He said, I want to know why he did it. You ever wonder about that? I don't know how many times I've been to the nursing home, and Sister Barnes said, and others in the nursing home, they say, I don't know why Jesus has left me here so long. I don't know. Well, they knew when they were saved. They knew when Jesus reached out and grasped them, and they became his, and he never leaves them or forsakes them. But they say, here I am, and I just want to go on home. I don't know why. What purpose does God have for me? You'd be surprised. Every Saturday, I give her a peck on the forehead. She tells me how glad she is to see me, says nice things to me. And that just helps a lot. And she talks to other people about the Lord. And the other people in the nursing home see her there. They see that she loves the Lord, and she's waiting for the Lord. God left Simeon here, that very old man in the Bible, so that a promise could be seen. He promised Simeon that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. And when he held the child up in his arms and said, behold, mine eyes have seen thy salvation, we discover that Mary and Joseph pondered those things in their hearts. They had a purpose for that old man. I'm sure he was as old as the Bible tends to indicate. And if his legs were like mine, it wasn't easy for him to walk up the long temple steps. And yet he did. Because he was curious. Why has God gotten a hold of me? Some of you sitting here, the ones you least suspect, and the ones you say, oh, they'll never change. They'll never be like God, be God's servant. You don't know that. And so operate on the principle that if God apprehended you, and he did, if you know him as Savior, then there's always that chance that one day you'll say, you know, I need to meet the purpose in my life that God called me for. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He said, I don't know the full meaning. Remember back up here, that I may know him. Look down here. I count not myself to have apprehended. He said, I do not understand. I don't grasp why he grasped me. This I understand quite well. My whole life was in front of me, all of it. I was a successful meteorologist. I had 32 people working for me. I had a wonderful two-story home to live in. I had more money than I knew what to do with. I sent home to my parents. Imogene sent home to her parents. Everything in our life was going great. I already had plans made to either work at the Franklin Institute in Philadelphia or at the Severe Weather Warning Center in Kansas City. I had received job bibles from that, or I could have stayed in the agency. Well, I was just going through life, and all of a sudden, he said, I count not myself to have apprehended. He said, I don't know why the Lord pulled me into this. He was a Hebrew, the Hebrew, a Pharisee, the Pharisee, circumcised the eighth day of the tribe of Benjamin, studied at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a dyed-in-the-wool Pharisee that believed in salvation by works, and God just reached out and grabbed him. Well, God just reached out and grabbed me. I don't know why. I'm the most unlikely preacher you would ever run into. I'm not like most preachers. You know my lackadaisical attitude. You know my mood swings. You know everything about me. Why in the world would God have called me? I don't know the answer. I can understand why he'd call somebody like, Ben Bogart, or J. Lewis Guthrie, or some of those great men in our work, but why in the world would he choose a renegade like me? I'm still trying to find out, and I know more than I did at the start. Paul said, okay, he said, I may never know why God's son grabbed me, but he said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now listen to me, please. Sometimes you may think, that message, he pointed his finger right at me. No, I'm sorry. I try not to operate that way. Have I ever been guilty of it? Yes. But I try not to operate that way. So I'll tell you ahead of time. I'm talking to every one of you, and I'm talking to myself, because this scripture is talking to all of us. He says, brethren. This was a church at Philippi. He said, I count not myself to have apprehended. And he tells them what God wants them to do. But I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark of the calling of Christ Jesus. Now, it isn't important what your past track record is. You can't go back and relive that. It isn't important what my past track record is. It's over. What is important is, what do you intend to do from this day forward? That scripture has a way of saying to you, today starts tomorrow and forever. What are you going to do now that you're hearing this on a Sunday morning, the Sunday before Halloween? What are you going to do when you hear this, with this message, or when you walk out of here? Is your life going to be different? Are you going to try to run the race of life? Are you going to try to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Or is there something else in your life that's more important? What is it in your life you're pressing for? What is it that you're seeking that you think will give you happiness? What is it that you're following after that will give you pleasure? Pleasure in the flesh? Pleasure in the emotions? Whatever it is that gives you pleasure. Are you pressing toward the mark for that, or are you running a race for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? It isn't important what happened yesterday. It's important what is going to happen today and tomorrow in your life. And Paul is telling you a personal experience in his own life and the way he feels about it. And the wonderful thing about all this is that he's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and so he's telling you this, and he has to be telling you the truth. Now, this is where we stopped last Sunday. Verse 13, Philippians chapter 3. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of calling of high of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, mature. Now, Paul is telling the truth under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but he's going to make a point. He's going to make a point to people that think they're already mature. There are some people who have the idea, and I've seen preachers like this, who, because they've preached for so long and done this for so long, they think they've gone on to some type of a superior knowledge, and that everybody else ought to be like them. And he's telling the members of the church at Philippi, yeah, you've come a long way, but he says, you're not perfect. He said, now here's what you need to do. Be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. When I finally decided, all right, Lord, I'll do anything you want. Anything, Lord. He had reached out many years before and grabbed me. But finally I came to the point in life, and I've told you about it before, in a hotel room in Omaha, and I won't go into that. Finally, at about 2 o'clock in the morning, after being drained of tears, no more moisture left in my body, I finally just told God I would do anything he wanted. So, as soon as the conference was over on breaking Russian-Chinese codes, I headed back home. And I went in and I told him, Gene, I said, we're going to start serving the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Do you remember Imogen? She had always wanted to do that. I was the obstacle. You remember how we drove around? We found a scriptural church. We joined it. Okay. I thought, now, hot dogs. I thought, hot dogs. Now, I'm mature. I finally did what God wanted. You say, well, you didn't feel that. Yes, I did. I thought, okay, now, I'm surrendered. My wife surrendered. And won't it be wonderful there? Oh, my goodness gracious. And believe it or not, I be thus minded. I didn't have any choice in this matter. That made me study the Bible. It made me study the Scripture. It made me want to understand what I needed to do. And I discovered a horrendous, almost narcissistic man who was so in love with himself and was so entwined with the desires of his own flesh that many of the things he considered to be pleasing to God were unpleasing. And he didn't know his foot from a hole in the ground. And when he saw this, it absolutely shocked him. Well, now you can see I've gone on to perfection. No. I'm that same fella. But now I'm a fella who the Word of God has made realize that God's grace every day and every year is greater in my own heart than it was at the beginning. I don't know how God puts up with me. I honestly don't. He said, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. Are you satisfied with yourself? I mean, are you really satisfied with yourself? Do you have inside you this awareness? Okay, I'm as good as anybody else. I go to church. And I do this, and I do that, and you really feel good about yourself? That's what all these preachers on television keep telling you, ought to feel good about yourself. Well, I feel good about Jesus, and I feel good about the fact that he's in me, and I feel good he won't ever leave me and forsake me, and I feel good that he gives me wisdom, understanding, and discernment. I feel really good about that. But God has revealed so many things in my life that are wrong. And even now, as I stand here as your pastor, for me to say I don't have a carnal nature anymore, or for you to say you don't have a carnal nature anymore, is self-deceit. You think everything I do is in response to God's Spirit? Don't you think that I yield to the flesh sometimes and do some things in church work just because I don't want you on my case? You think I'm not human? Don't you do some things in God's service just because it's expected of you? Being honest with yourself, it's what Paul's talking about. And if you think that you're already there, it's because you haven't let the Word of God seep into your heart. And that's what church is all about. It's about people being honest with themselves and with God. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this even to you. Well, I can give you a personal testimony that that's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Because he is still revealing things to me about myself that I never realized. And some people in their Christian lives get to the point where they are perfectly happy with themselves the way they are. And when that happens, almost instantaneously, they become zealously, very zealous in their judgment of everybody around them, because they have to be the whole center of attention and attraction. And they never know any happiness in life because nobody ever comes up to their standard of self-pity. Nevertheless, whereunto two we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Okay, so I'm not there. So I've got a billion things wrong with me. So I analyze myself constantly. Why do I go to the hospital to see somebody? What's my purpose in it? What's my motive? You say, well, Brother McElmurray, praise God from whom all blessings flow. I'm not being facetious. Holy, holy, holy. Yeah, my spirit goes over there because I'm concerned about the person. But I have a fleshly nature. I also go over there so they won't get mad at me for not going. Of course, you don't ever do anything like that, do you? We live in a world where our carnal man does something. Our spiritual man does something. And we both walk into the hospital at the same time. And the spiritual man feels guilty because of the carnal man that's saying, the only reason you're over here is because you know that they'll get mad if you don't come. And my spiritual man is saying, no, that's not why you're over here, Tom. And then by the time the debate is over, I finally determine, you know what? I've got two natures. And what I'm going to have to do is for the rest of my life walk by the same rule and mind the same thing. I'm going to have to do what I do just like this. Whereunto we have already attained. Well, here I am, your pastor. Both carnal and spiritual. Here I am. How far along have I come? Let us walk by the same rule. I'm here. I'm walking by the same rule. Do you mind me being honest with you? We had some church members that left this church because I was too honest about myself. They didn't like that. Because they didn't want to be honest about themselves. And when I expose myself as I am, confessing my faults one to another, they left this church. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, okay, Don is at a certain spiritual level. Gene's at a certain spiritual level. But Don is at a certain spiritual level. God knows what it is. I don't. But now, wherever you are, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Well, Adonis here. And Jean's here. And Donna Jean is here. I would say they were walking by the same rule. I love all of them. I really do. I care for them. But I realize that we have to walk where we are. Now, while we're walking where we are, let's continue to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's attempt to understand more about Christ, and in so doing, understand about ourselves. Or are you satisfied? Have you reached the level? Are you satisfied with the number of times you come to church every week? Are you satisfied with your attitude about the church? Are you satisfied with your attitude toward other people? Are you satisfied with your attitude toward God and toward yourself? If not, just keep on walking where you are. Don't quit the faith. Don't quit coming. Don't run away from it. But while you're doing that, press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, when God reached out and grabbed you, it was Jesus that grabbed you. What do you think he wants you to do about baptism? What do you think? Isn't that part of pressing toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Would you rather that I be honest with you? That I gild it over and never talk about it? This is a personal matter between you and the Lord. But baptism is the first step in pressing toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What about your church attendance? What about that? Do you think you're pressing toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Are there other things that are more important to you? Brethren, be polished together of me. Well, what do you think? Laws and mercy. No, I'm not a follower of Paul. Paul looked down at Pamphylia, a malaria-infested place at the foot of the Taurus Mountains in Turkey. He looked up at those hills. They're vertical. I've flown over them many times. Up in the top of those hills, there were snow, robber bands, misery. You wouldn't believe what was up there. Paul just went right ahead and pressed toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Have I ever done that? No. Am I likely to ever do that? Well, only God knows. But if you ask me, the state I'm in now, no, I don't think so. My carnal man is certainly not willing to do it. Brethren, be polished together of me. He said, now, while you're pressing toward the mark, following my example, he said, mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Now, let's just call a spade. Let's just stop for a moment, and I'm doing it with you. And let's look at ourselves. When we stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account to him of our race of life and our spiritual growth and how much we press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, and how far short we fell of this man's example. This man was in the same boat that you're in, and I'm in. He had a carnal nature. Look at his life. How can we defend ourselves before Christ if we weren't even willing to be faithful in his church? How can we defend ourselves before Christ if we were not willing to follow his example of being baptized by immersion by the authority of the local church? How can we defend ourselves? What justification will we offer? Would you rather I just played this down and never talked about it? How much love do I have for you if I do that? What kind of a preacher am I if I only preach the things that make you feel good about yourselves? A preacher that loves his people, God's people, is a preacher that tells them the truth and faces that truth himself. You think I'm trying to tell you that when I stand there, I won't have the same problem you do? I will. But that's going to be the one time that the old saying, misery loves company, won't hack it. We better take advantage of this life that we have now, because I don't think we have much longer to wait until our judge comes and we stand before him. Brother John Mills, would you dismiss us to our class?